right, welcome back once again, everybody. I'm Don Seifert. It's the Dr. Treifert and Don podcast. It's just Dr. Carrie Peter and I today. Say hi, Carrie.
Hello.
All right, we're trying to make this one pretty quick because it is kind of an emergency. If we were a corny early morning show, I would like blare some sirens here, but I'm not going to do that too. Carrie, I'll let you just take it
Okay.
away.
All right. Well, listen, folks. So I've been keeping an eye on things, but Mother Nature, she loves to throw curveballs. A week ago, everything was like at majority of the varieties were at tight cluster, with the exception of maybe like Pink Lady. Pink Lady was already maybe popping a few, like a king bloom here and there. And then with the warmer temperatures, things have just progressed extraordinarily rapidly. And with that, whether that what I've been keeping tabs on, like last Friday, now sh showed up without really, and I didn't anticipate this weather, as far as being warm weather, rain showers this week. And if you've been outside, it is quite warm. It was quite warm yesterday too. And so with that warm weather plus precipitation plus open blossoms, this is fire blight weather. And today is an infection event. And also tomorrow is an infection event. If you are using NUA, it may just say high. It just says high risk. But I ran the numbers and as far as the min and max temps and precipitation through the actual Mary Blight software that is available if anyone's ambitious, and it's coming up as an infection. So word to the wise, I've been trying to work with the NUA folks on this as far as some issues that I've seen with sort of inconsistencies. If you look at the EIP, go to the website, go to the fire blight section on NUA and look at the EIP or the epiphytic infection potential. And the epiphytic infection potential, it calculates a percent. And that percent takes into consideration if the flowers are open and the petals are intact, you have an accumulation of at least 198 degree hours above 65 degrees, and a wetting event as dew or rain, and then an average daily temperature of 6 degrees Fahrenheit. It has to be in that order. And this calculates a percent. And if all of those, if you have all four of those, it triggers and also an infection event when all four of those conditions are met. We have met those today and we are meeting them tomorrow. So hopefully with folks, especially in the South Central area, if you have open blossoms, I hope you're getting protected with streptomycin. That is the treatment of choice because the streptomycin is going to kill the bacteria that could possibly be present in those blossoms. Now, I've already gotten questions from people who have already they're keeping tabs on things. They're like, I put on a streptomycin spray this weekend and then it rained. Do I have to go out there again and spray it, streptomycin again? And the answer is no. So this is where we're getting mixed up with how fungicides work and then how the antibiotic streptomycin works. Okay. Streptomycin needs to work or will work once it's sprayed on that blossom. It contacts that bacteria and it will kill the bacteria cells. And in that moment, you're going to be resetting the clock back to zero as far as the percent chance or percent risk of infection. And because of the way streptomycin works, it's partially systemic. So it's going to be penetrating those nectaries. So the bacteria is going to be hanging out in the stigmas. When you have a rain event, the water washes the bacteria from the stigmas down into the nectaries. Well, fortunately, streptomycin is awesome in that respect that it can penetrate the nectaries. So if anything may have snuck in there, that streptomycin will basically knock it back in its tracks. You can get about 48 hours out of streptomycin spray. You do not need to reapply it after if it rains after you sprayed it because it already did the job. This is in contrast to fungicides where you do need it to be persisting on the leaf for a period of time because of the way fungi work. The fungi germinate thanks to the conditions like moisture and warmth. It will germinate and then it will penetrate into the tissue, into the plant tissue. Now, if it rains a lot, that fungicide can be washed off and that spore can continue to do its damage. So, you do need to reapply fungicides after if it rains, especially if it rains a lot, because this has been a crazy year with regards to rainfall. There's been a lot of rain that has fallen throughout Pennsylvania over the last, particularly the last several weeks. So, let's just recap. For streptomycin sprays on blossoms, you do not need to worry about reapplying within 24 hours if there's a rain event, because you got it on in that moment. It will, or in the moment that you sprayed it, it will kill whatever in that blossom and you should be good. Now, if it stays warm the next several days, which who knows at this point, I mean, it's saying it's going to be cooler weather and the temperature is going to fall, but anything's possible at this point. You will want to keep an eye on the temperatures, and you also want to keep an eye on how many more blossoms open, because you may need to reapply later in the week based on the environmental conditions and the open blossoms. So it's something to keep in mind. Right now, I hope everyone is getting out there and spraying their trees with streptomycin. It's because that is the conventional spray of choice. It still works. For us, I have yet to detect streptomycin resistance within Pennsylvania. Outside of Pennsylvania, like in Maryland, I know there's pockets because of the way things are set up for them. If you have an issue with streptomycin, a known issue with streptomycin resistance, you want to be doing a rotation with streptomycin, oxytetracycline, and casugamycin. That is only if you have an issue with streptomycin resistance. And you know who you are if you're listening. In Pennsylvania, as far as I know, to date, we don't see these issues. I would still use streptomycin because that is the most effective compared to the other two antibiotics. Now, for a little extra oomph right now, you could also incorporate Apogee into your spray as well. Apogee is going to harden off those shoots post petal fall, because this is when we'll be seeing fire blight show up, is shortly after petal fall. By incorporating Apogee, anywhere from, I'd say, 4 to 12 ounces, depending on the side of the tree, the size of the tree. The bigger the tree, the higher the rate of Apogee or kudos. That's prohexidione calcium is the active ingredient that you want to apply. The smaller the tree, the more dwarf, you want to err on the side of less, because it'll slow the growth down. So depending on your risk history of fire blight in that particular orchard, you use your judgment as far as how much you want to apply in those high density orchards with the smaller trees. But the big semi-dwarf trees, put on the highest rate. You can also incorporate in your spray products like Actigard or LifeGuard or Vasoplant. Of those three, Actigard is the best as far as have packing a big oomph. And as far as right now, it's like, depending on the disease pressure, we're sort of like, it's not extreme extreme, but it's enough to basically sit up straight and pay attention. Products like Actigar will probably, or I'm sorry, LifeGuard will also do a good job right now because the disease pressure isn't too extreme. And Vasoplant works best on biggest trees. So these are plant defense elicitors. I may have forgotten to mention that in the beginning. Actigard, LifeGuard, and Vasoplant, they're plant defense elicitors. They do not kill the bacteria. So you still need to incorporate some sort of bactericide with that spray. So what this will do is that it will help kind of beef up the defenses of the tree, of that blossom, to make it harder for the bacteria to cause infection. If there's, stragglers around, and depending on, the prolonged disease conditions. So right now, to just to recap, in that spray tank for a fire blight, for folks who don't have issues with streptomycin resistance, which is basically all of Pennsylvania, you want to be incorporating streptomycin. Read the label, because the products have changed as far as how much you put on. And right now, with the newer formulations, you're putting on less than what you're used to. So make sure you read that label as far as rates go. Streptomycin to limit fire blight infection in the future, i.e., shoot blight, think about Apogee. You can apply anywhere from 4 to 12 ounces per acre, depending on the size of the tree. And in the immediate, as far as in the immediate time, you could also add in stuff like Actigard, LifeGuard, or Vasoplant to that tank mix as well, because this will help within 48 hours as far as beefing up the plant's defenses and protecting those blossoms even more. So with that, so 15th, 16th, April 15th, 16th, these are definite fire blight infection days. I ran the numbers. I fooled around with the dates as far as just to see, and it's definite. So just a reminder, if you're using Nua, pay attention to that EIP value. If it's anywhere near 100 or above 100, spray. Regardless if it says bright red infection or not, because, like I said, I'm seeing issues with it only saying hi, and it's definitely an infection. It should say infection. So that is fire blight. So that is the big warning bells right now. The second thing to be thinking about is that we are in peak disease pressure right now for apple scab. If you are in bloom, this is peak time for apple scab, which means that the maximum number of available overwintering spores in those overwintering leaves have matured. You've got 100% maturity. And with these rain events coming up, they're going to release. Probably the majority of them are going to release. We've got great conditions for scab, and it's a major scab infection event. Now, this is if you're in bloom. If you're lagging behind, say in pink or even still, I'm maybe tight cluster in the northern parts of the state, it's still a major infection period because we have a couple days right now. So, as far as what to apply during the bloom time, this is when I would be using the Frac7 fungicides. If bloom is protracted, what does that mean? It means bloom hangs on longer than it should be hanging on because of the cooler weather. And that could very well happen this year as far as looking at the long range forecast. This might be a long bloom. You want to be rotating those Frac7 fungicides with Frac3 and Frac9. And I'd hold off on the Frac11s. I'd like to see those in the summer for to control rots. Your Frac3, 7s, and 9s are the best ones right now to be rotating around. Also, as a reminder, is rust. This is rust weather too, cedar apple rust, quince rust. The galls are active. I have cedar trees at the south end of the property here on the farm at Freck, and they are loaded, 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 loaded with cedar apple rust galls. So, cedar apple rust conventionally is pretty straightforward to control. Tank mix mancozeb, that will do it. If you struggle with it, Frac 3s are pretty good as far as managing rust. Organically, it's tough. So for organic management, resistant varieties, as far as thinking about the future, it's a very tough disease to manage organically. And also, I'm going to work backwards here as far as the organic recommendations for apple scab. Right now, you'd be want to be applying sulfur or potassium bicarbonate. And also keep that sulfur handy because if you are farming organically and you have apple scab resistant varieties and you say, I don't need to worry about this, yes, you do, because Marcinina blotch is right around the corner. Marcinina blotch spores are probably maturing as we speak and ready to fly out of those overwintering leaves and overwintering crevices from around the tree. So sulfur is going to be your best friend at suppressing this disease. It's like scab as far as the primary infection period starts around petal fall, it'll probably go to about late May. If history is going to repeat itself, it'll probably go to about late May. And then backing up further, with regards to fire blight organic management, sorry for not going in order here, Blossom Protect. Hopefully you have Blossom Protect on hand and you're already ahead of the game. For folks who don't have Blossom Protect, lime sulfur is another option. And I want to say, oh, you have to remember here, I think it's about 2% lime sulfur is the rate you're going to want to be going for with regards to fire blight control. Now, this is out of my wheelhouse, but I just want to mention that bloom time is also a time to you could blossom thin with lime sulfur, but hopefully we will have Dr. Sean Kumar talking about that later, as in a very soon later. So hopefully this week sometime to be able to talk about that. But you would get control from that lime sulfur used to blossom thin also for fire blight control as well. I would copper, if you're going to use copper. For organic management for fire blight, use a copper sulfate pentahydrate. What's that? That's MasterCop. Is basically that is the one of choice. It seems that MasterCop and or MagnaBond, the MagnaBond CS2005, those two, they are soluble coppers, meaning all the copper ions are available, ready to go to kill that bacteria immediately. Those are the coppers you want to be using because you need something ready that's ready to kill immediately, not something that's going to be slow releasing, like fixed coppers like Coside or Quava. Those are basically real like slow release coppers, copper ions. You want something with all the ions and all the ions ready to go. There has been some good research out of Cornell showing Regalia at 1 quart to the acre plus Magnabond, the CS2005 at 1 point to the acre seems to do a good job as well. So you got Blossom Protect and this Regalia plus Magnabond CS2005 as two options for organic control. So, Don, did I miss anything?
No, I think that was very
wait,
good rapid
one more
fire.
thing.
Wait,
I just
okay.
remembered blossom blight with regards to stone fruit. Don't forget that. This is if you still have open blossoms, cherries have opened. So you need to be managing blossom as far as the blossom blight that's caused by the brown rot fungus. That's a fungus, the blossom blight that's fungus caused. So what to apply? Oh goodness. You know, whatever you're applying to your peaches, that when they had open blossoms, you can apply to your cherries as well, especially those cherries that have had a history. Organically, sulfur. That's your kind of your best general biocide to go after this that the brown rot blossom blight.
Nice.
All right.
Good job. Very quick, very informative.
Okay.
We
All right.
will.
Yeah. May the force be with you, folks. And man, just stay on your toes. Keep an eye on the weather conditions. If it's warm over multiple days, most likely you will reach that the right EIP, epiphytic infection potential, high enough percent, at least 100 or above is going to be tricky weather. So spray, spray, spray. At this time, you don't want to take chances.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. Thanks, Don.
All right. See everybody. Good
See
luck.
ya. Good luck.
Thank you.